Parshat Tzave. Apologize in advance a little bit. Also, with Hashem, we'll get through. Va'atot Tzave es b'nei Yisrael ve'yikhu eilecho shemen zayis zoch. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should command Klal Yisrael, and they should take for you shemen zayis zoch. This, of course, is the introduction to the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah, which, of course, troubles many of the Mefarshim, because why is the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah mentioned over here at all? These are, after all, the parashiyot which are dealing with the construction of the Mishkan. What happens in the Mishkan, for example, Hakrovas HaKorbonos, that is the subject of discussion for Sefer Vayikra. We're not told in these parashas you have to bring animals and you have to sacrifice them, because that's all to do with parashas Yikra and onwards. So Hadlakas HaMenorah, L'chayra, is very much out of place over here. That's not so much to do with the construction of the Mishkan as to what happened in the Mishkan. That's reserved for Sefer Vayikra. What's it doing here in Sefer Shemot? So we've discussed various mahalchim in the past, the Das HaKeinim and others. We will discuss a new approach tonight. The Medrash says in Parshas Emor. Now in Parshas Emor, the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah is mentioned once again. The Medrash there says a rather strange thing. Once again it says, Ve'yikhu eilecho shemen zayizoch. They shall take for you shemen zayizoch. Very same, similar pasuk to the one we have in our Sedra. So the Medrash over there says, Moshe Rabbeinu is considered a melech. Because it says, Vayi Bishurun Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu is a melech. Therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have appointed you as a melech over Klal Yisrael. And the way of a melech is that he issues decrees, but other people carry them out. He doesn't have to do them himself. Therefore, so too, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu eilech Hashem en zayizoch. So too, you shall instruct Klal Yisrael, and they should bring for you the shemen. In other words, rather than you having to bring the shemen yourself, no, you're the melech. And the melech doesn't carry out his decrees himself, he just issues them. So therefore you issue the decree, but who's going to actually bring the shemen for the menorah? It'll be through others. That's what the Medrash says. The Netziv is very bothered by this Medrash in his Perish of the Chumash HaMikdavah. If it is true that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered a melech, and everything that he decrees has to be carried out by others, then this could have been pointed out for us at any stage of the Torah. Why is this being pointed out to us with regard to the lighting of the menorah and the bringing of the shemen? Klal Yisrael should bring shemen for you, but you shouldn't bring it yourself. Why? Because you're a melech. Well, that's the truth, therefore, for any mitzvah in the Torah. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu issued a decree, Chazal could have immediately picked up, and the Torah could have pointed out, not that Moshe Rabbeinu did it himself, that he's a melech. Why is that lesson taught to us over here? Furthermore, another medrash, also in Parshas Emor, a couple of psukim time, it says, Va'ato hakre ve'lecho es Aaron Achicha. You shall draw near Aaron Achicha, your brother, and of course this was his appointment as Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol. So Moshe Rabbeinu says the medrash was upset. Was upset, perhaps. Maybe he should have been the Kohen Gadol. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to be Mefayes you. What is that? The Torah. I gave you the Torah. After all, you are the one who gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So you see, you've also got a very chashuv shtela. To which the Netziv asks, one second, that's not really fair. Torah is public property. Moshe Rabbeinu just happened to be the one who delivered it to Klal Yisrael. But Kahuna is not public property. That is reserved only for Aaron HaKohen and his family. So the Chayyur is not really much of an appeasement to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Don't worry, I never gave you kahuna, but I gave you Torah instead. You didn't give me Torah.
Rather, you gave Klal Yisrael Torah. I was just the intermediary. I was the emissary to deliver it to them. How is that a replacement for kahuna, which really is a gift to Aaron HaKohen and his family only? Says the Nesiv. We discussed last week, and we've mentioned this in previous years as well, that there are two kelim in the Mishkan that represent the idea of Torah. The Aroin, in which the Luchos were kept, and the Menorah. Last week we discussed the whole Mahalach. One perhaps represents those who are learning and earning Parnasa. One is representing those who are only learning. That was the Mahalach we discussed last week. Says the Nesiv, what exactly do we need two separate kelim, both the Aroin and also the Menorah? Why do we need them both to represent Torah? There's only one Torah, isn't there? Says the Nesiv, a very, very important principle. We have Torah Shebichtav. Whatever's written in the book, that's the way it was transmitted to Klal Yisrael, never to be changed. It was all handed to Moshe and given to Klal Yisrael. We have Torah Shebaal Peh as well, but Torah Shebaal Peh, as it was handed to Klal Yisrael, was not a closed book. Torah Shebichtav is a closed book. We have absolutely no right, chas v'shalom, to add anything to Torah Shebichtav. If you add one tiny yud to a Sefer Torah, it's possible. It's a closed book. There's no amending or changing or adding or altering. Torah Shebaal Peh, as it were, was given to Klal Yisrael, the base, and then it's being written constantly until today. The inyun of pilpul, what does pilpul mean? To be mafalpul in Torah, to extrapolate new chidushim the whole time, is an ongoing process which is never ending. It is still going on till this very day. That wasn't given to Klal Yisrael at the time. They were given the Torah Shebichtav and, as it were, the base of Torah Shebaal Peh. But after that, new halachas are being nischadish the whole time. Now, of course, new halachas doesn't mean that we wake up one morning, we just invent something. Of course, it's all based on what's written. And it's all extrapolated from that which is given to us, but it's not written. And therefore, each day it comes along with its chidushim and its moisif and its moisif and its moisif and its moisif, such that Torah Shebaal Peh, and specifically the koyach of pilpul, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is an ongoing process which is never ending. Says the Nesiv, that's why I need two kelim. There are two forces of Torah in the world. There's the koyach of the Torah that was given to us, whether it be Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebaal Peh, that is the Aroin. What was in the Aroin? The Luchos HaBris, that was given to us. The Menorah represents something else completely. The Menorah, with all of its complexities, it was so complex that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't even construct it. We're told eventually, what did he have to do? He had to throw it into the fire, and it just became made itself. That is Torah Shebaal Peh. Specifically, the koyach of chidush, based on all the intricacies and complexities and difficulties of Torah, that is the basis for Torah Shebaal Peh, and the koyach of pilpul in Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the Menorah. Says the Nesiv, he brings a medrash, a wonderful medrash. Rav Tarfain was one of the great Tanoim. Whenever he heard a deep chiddush, he used to exclaim, "Wow! Kafto vaferach." So we think that means some sort of poetic expression. Kafteir, a ferach, it's flowery. No, no, no. Where are the kafteirim? In the Menorah. Where are the prochim? In the Menorah. What he was really exclaiming was, kafteir vaferach, I understand and appreciate that this wonderful chiddush really emanates from the Torah Shebaal Peh and the koyach of pilpul to Torah Shebaal Peh, which comes from the Menorah, which is made up of Kafteir Vaferach. When was there a tremendous ribui in Klal Yisrael of Torah Shebaal Peh? When was there an explosion of Torah Shebaal Peh? When the Gemara was written. Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara were all written. That was during the Koyach of Bayis Sheni. So the Nativ, that's when the Chanukah Nes occurred. That's the Menorah once again. The Koyach in the world of Pilpul HaTorah and the Menorah are closely linked. Says the Nativ, a tremendous Chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were given these two separate koyches of Torah. Aaron HaKohen, he explains, and he brings proofs, as you can imagine from Sukkim, was given the koyach of Torah as it was handed to us. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the koyach to be Moses, to be Mefalpel, to be Mechadesh in Torah. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's koyach. The Gemara in fact says, in the Dawn, that essentially Torah was given to Moshe and his family. What does that mean, it was given to Moshe and his family? The whole of Klal Yisrael, Torah, Tzibur, Alon, Umay, Rasha, Kinef, Yaakov, it's everybody's property. The Gemara says, no, essentially, the Koyach of Pilpul HaTorah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift. That will be your domain. Moshe Rabbeinu, you and your family are being given the koyach to be moisif, to add chidushei Torah. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, with his tremendous ayin toiv, was prepared to share that with others as well. But essentially, it was a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we understand, says the Mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was given the koyach to be mefalpel the Torah, really should have been the one lighting the menorah, because that's where the koyach of chidushei Torah comes from. That's why he became upset. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, you told me draw close Aaron HaKohen. He's going to be given the mitzvah of hadlakas menorah, but isn't that my department?" He says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, I'll appease you. I'm giving you Torah." So we ask, what do you mean you're giving him Torah? What do you mean you're giving me Torah? Surely Torah is the property of the masses. I was just the one who delivered it. No! The koyach of chidushei Torah was given as a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's his own personal private gift. That really is his gift. And that's what it means. Ve'yikhu eilecho. This should be for you, and only for you. We ask, why is the parasha of Hadlakas HaMenorah written in this parasha? It's not really the Indian over here. The answer is, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to bring Aaron HaKohen close and appoint him as a Kohen Gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, this is the place to point out that your koyach comes from Hadlakas HaMenorah. That's your koyach of Chidushei Torah. That's your koyach to be mefalpel and to be moisif on the Torah. Where does that come from? It comes from the menorah. That's why we're speaking about it in our parasha. Because essentially, you're right, the real topic of our parasha is the appointment of Aaron HaKohen. But the appointment of Aaron HaKohen was what warranted the deliverance, the gift to Moshe Rabbeinu of Pilpul HaTorah. Pilpul HaTorah is your gift and nobody else's gift. That is the approach of the Nativ in this week's Sedra. So, as I mentioned, we've mentioned many approaches over the years of why you need an Orin and a Menorah representing Torah. Some say it's simply Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. As we've seen today, it's not specifically like that according to the Nativ. The Menorah is what Mechadesh Chidushei Torah to me. That's a gift that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he never lit the menorah, but his koyach of chidushei Torah came about through the menorah. Later on in the parasha, much later on, in Perek Chavtes, Perek Lamed Gimel, we read a passage that says as follows: Chavtes Lamed Gimel.
Va'achlu oisam asher kupar bohem. You will eat them. This is referring to karbonis. Asher kupar bohem, and they will bring about an atonement. The Gemara tells us a very big chiddush. The Gemara tells us that if somebody had to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of accruing a kapora, how did that kapora come about? That kapora came about through the kohanim eating the korban. Ha-koyanim oichlim v'habaylim mischaprim. An incredible thing. You would have thought you give the korban to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, put it on the Mizbeach, and that should bring about the kapora. No. The kohanim eat it, that brings about the kapora. As long as they have not eaten it, no kapora available. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov, I found this in at least four places, it could be he writes about this in other places as well, has a yesod, a very, very important yesod. And he writes this right at the beginning of his Sefer in Parshas Bereishis. He writes about this in Parshas Bo, he writes about this in Parshas Vezeis HaBrocha. I have a Sefer at home, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Pirish to Masechtas Ovos. He writes about it there as well. And he says, there is a fundamental difference in outlook between Goyim and Yidden when it comes to what the definition of Kedusha is. What is the definition of Kedusha? A Goy also has an understanding of what Kedusha is. So what's the difference? The difference is, says Rabbi Yaakov, is as follows. We understand that there can be and there must be a synthesis between the guf and the nefesh. Ruchnius and gashmius. Goyim don't understand it. Goyim also understand that there is a guf, and they can understand the notion of spirituality, but never the twain shall meet. The holiest person, quote unquote, amongst the Goyim, they don't chas v'shalom marry. Celibacy. Because if you're an ish kodesh, how could you possibly get married and be involved with a goof? We don't believe that. The holiest person in Klal Yisrael, on the holiest day of the year, enters the holiest place, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom HaKippurim, into the Kodesh culture. What is the first Mishnah in Yuma Talas? He has to be married. So much so, there's one opinion that says that we line up a spare wife, just in case. If one dies, you've got to have a spare one. Our definition of Kedusha is very different from the Goyim's definition of Kedusha. In fact, what is marriage? In our dictionary, marriage is called Kiddushin, the ultimate Kedusha. A Goy looks upon marriage as some sort of B'dieved institution for those who are weak people. But if you're an elevated Kodesh, quote unquote, you don't need that, therefore they don't get married. In fact, when the Goyim, the Christians, needed to invent their leader, so what was it based on? Immaculate Conception. This great leader of ours didn't come about through Guf, Ish, Ve'isha, no, because then he can't possibly be Kodesh. And what do we believe? Who was our Manhig? Moshe Rabbeinu. How was he born? Says the Pasuk in Parshas Shemois, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach es Bas Levi. Amram married Yecheved. What's the Torah stressing? Our leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, how did he come about? Through the union of Ish Ve'isha. We understand that that can produce Kedusha. The Guf and the Nefesh can produce Kedusha. The Gemara tells us there is a discussion. How should you spend your Yom Tov? What should you do on Yom Tov? Big machlokes in the Gemara. Some say you should spend all day Lashem. All day learning, all day davening. That's all you should be doing all day. Some say, no, lochem, indulge. What does the Gemara say? When it comes to Shavuos, everybody agrees you've got to have lochem. Everybody asks the question, Shavuos? Shavuos is the day we got the Torah. Isn't that the last day that we should be involved in Lachem? What we should be eating on Shavuos? And the answer is yes, exactly on Shavuos. On Shavuos, the day that we got the Torah, we became the Am Kodesh. What do we need to demonstrate? That we understand what Kedusha really is. And Kedusha comes about through an amalgamation of Guf and Nefesh, Ruchnias and Gashmias, Lashem and Lochem, precisely on Shavuos.
Says Rabbi Yaakov, in conclusion there in Parshas Bereishis, a most wonderful, wonderful pshat.
The Gemara tells us, this might come as a surprise, a goy, if he wants, can bring a carbon. Avodah Shteis in the Gemara, a goy can bring a carbon. Now, we know when Klal Yisrael bring a carbon, what happens to it? Is it sacrificed completely or is it eaten?
The answer is,
depends. Depends which carbon. We have a carbon called carbon oila. What happens to an oila? All consumed. And then we have the shlomim. What's the shlomim? Part consumed, part eaten. Says the Gemara in Menachos, if a goy brings a carbon, even if he wants to bring a shlomim, what do we do with it? The whole thing on the mizbeach. Nothing is eaten. Nothing. Says the Gemara, why? Two words. Liboy lashomayim. His heart is in heaven. What does that mean, his heart is in heaven? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, such a genius pshat. A goy can understand the concept of ruchnis. I can understand there's an inyan of kedusha, you give a gift as it were to Rabbeinu Shalom. What can you not understand? How can that be eaten by human beings? How can a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is all about kedusha in the base Hamikdash, be eaten, which is a mundane physical activity? What did we just read in the pasuk that we began with? Va'ochlu oisa masher kupar bohem. We believe that the kapara comes about how? Through the crane and eating. What? A physical, mundane activity of eating can bring about kapara and ruchnias? Yes, absolutely. You can be mekadesh the gashmias. A goy can never understand that. That's what it means. Liboy lashomayim. Where is the goy's heart? In heaven. What does that mean, his heart is in heaven? He can't understand that a korban should have anything to do with eating. It's all lashomayim. All or nothing. We understand, it's not true. V'ochlu oisam asher kupar bahem. Yes, a physical activity can also be kadosh if it's done in the right way. Have you ever wondered to yourself, a very rare simcha, a pidgin abel, and it's a very bizarre simcha. You have this 30-day-old kid, 30-day-old boy, who's kadosh. We strip him of his kedusha and then we celebrate him. That's all that happened at the Pidgin Aben. We gave the money to the Kohen, we, as it were, got the boy back, he's no longer Kodesh, big celebration. What's the celebration? That's the reason to celebrate. Says Rav Yaakov in Parshas Boy, this child was born Kodesh, as a kol kulei Kodesh, Kodesh nirechem. That's not the tachlis of this world. The tachlis of this world is to have a goof, a physical and mundane goof, and then elevate it and become Kodesh. We don't want somebody to be born Kodesh. Take away his Kedusha. Now let's leave you to your own devices. Can you take your goof and be male and Mereinim and Mekadesh your goof? That is the greatest cause of celebration, because now you can reach your Tachlis. Torah Siva Lanu Mayrasha Kehilas Yaakov. Torah is the legacy of who? It's a Yerusha for everybody. Says Rabbi Yaakov in Pashas Azayis HaBracha, Kedusha, when it comes to Goyim, is whose territory? Not public. It's only the elite few. If you're that type of person, you're able to live a life devoid of any Gashmias, and you don't get married, then you can be quote unquote a Kodesh. And what do we believe?
Torah siva lanu mayrasha. It's the Yerusha for who? Kehilas Yaakov, for everybody. Kedusha is the property of the masses. Everybody. Says Rabbi Yaakov in Maseches Avos. Now listen to this genius chat. No other word for it. The Mishnah Avos says, if three people sit down to eat and they don't talk divrei Torah, that's as if they're eating korbanos of a goy. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And if they eat and they do discuss divrei Torah, says the Mishnah, that's as if they're eating from the mizbeach. Says Rabbi Yaakov, you know what the pshat is? If you sit down and eat and you don't discuss divrei Torah, then what are you illustrating? What are you demonstrating? Torah, ruchnius, and food, gashmius, have nothing to do with each other. Excuse me, I'm eating now. Don't interrupt me with divrei Torah. That's for a different time. So therefore, what are you demonstrating? That you identify with the korban of a goy. That's exactly the ideology behind the korban of a goy. Either ruchnius or gashmius, but never the twain shall meet. But if you sit and you eat and you discuss divrei Torah, then what have you done? You've brought about an amalgamation of ruchnius and gashmius, Torah and eating. That is the korban, straight from the mizbech. A beautiful pshat of Rabbi Yaakov. So it occurred to me that maybe we can add the following to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yisroi joined Klal Yisroi. And it says in the pasuk there, and I listen very carefully to the words. He joined Klal Yisroi. Vayikach Yisroi Chosen Moshe. Yisroi, the father-in-law of Moshe, took the following. Now what did he take? Oila, says the pasuk, Uzvachim Leilekim. Oila Uzvachim Leilekim. What's an oila? Says Rashi. An oila is a carbon oila. Says Rashi, what's Zvachim? Says Rashi, a shlomim. So according to Rav Yaakov, you know how he could explain this pasuk? Yisroi used to be a goy. He always understood that you can have an oila leilekim. That he understood. But Zvachim leilekim, he never understood. You can have a shlomim which we eat and that's going to leilekim. He never understood that because he was a goy. But he just now converted. He became a Yid. So for the first time in his life, he was able to do what? Bring an oila uzvachim leilekim. I understand that a zevach can also be a godly korban, not just an oila. I used to be a goy. And when I was a goy, I didn't understand this. Everything is an oila. A zvachim? What do you mean? What? You eat a korban and that's kodesh? What have the two got to do with each other? But I just became Jewish now. Now I understand something else completely. That a zevach, says Rashi, a shlomim, can also be leilekim. And if we turn the clocks back further to Parshas Bo'i, Mo ha'avoida hazeis lochem. Whose question is that? Mo ha'avoida hazeis lochem? The Rosha. What is this avoida? And how do we answer him back? Va'amartem, tell him, zevach pesach hu lashem. So I thought that according to Rabbi Yaakov we can explain the following. What is the Rosh's question? Mo ha'avoido hazois lochem. What does the word lochem mean? For you. What's the first Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha? Lech Lecha, says Rashi, Lecha, l'toivoscha u'lehana'oscha, for your benefit. The Kliyoka translates the word lochem over here, Mo ha'avoido hazois lochem. Lochem, for your benefit, says the Rosha, one second, I come to the Seder night, and all I see is everybody eating and drinking. You're having a jolly good time. It's all lochem, lahana'atchem. You're having tremendous, wonderful time, drinking four cups of wine, and you drink a bottle of a korban. Mo ha'avoido. Well, that's called avoido for God. Because the Rosha doesn't understand that there can be a synthesis of eating and ruchnius. Mo ha'avoido hazois. How can this be avoido if it's all lochem? It's all for your pleasure and your benefit. And how do we answer him? Va'amartem, tell him, zevach pesach hu lashem. Yes, a zevach
a carbon that we eat can also be Lashem. You don't understand it. You don't really understand what eating is all about. As far as you're concerned, what is eating?
Indulging.
That's what it is, indulging. Being involved in a physical activity which has nothing to do with Ruchnius. So what do we tell the Rasha in the Haggadah? Hake Yeshino, knock out his teeth. Why should we knock out his teeth? Because he doesn't understand what eating is all about. You don't deserve teeth. As far as you're concerned, eating just means having a good time. Being involved with the goof. We understand that Amartem Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem. It could be a Zevach Shlomo that we eat, but it's Lashem. Just like Yisrael understood, you can have an Oila and Zvachim Leinokim. And all of that lies in the pasuk that we read before, V'ochlu oisom asher kupar bohem, ha-koyanim oichlim, v'ha-baylim mischaprim. What has the koyan eating got to do with the kapara, which is the ruchnius, the spiritual cleansing of the baylim? The answer is, it has everything to do with it. Because we understand that the ultimate kedusha can absolutely come about through an amalgamation of ruchnius and gashmius. One line I'd like to add. As I'm preparing the shiur the other night, it suddenly occurred to me that this brings us back to Inyan HaDiyoma. We are less than a week away from Purim. And the Sforim tell us the famous line, Yoim Kippurim. What does Yoim Kippurim mean? It is the Yoim Kippurim. There is some comparison between Yom Kippur and Purim. And everybody is out there trying to explain what on earth has Yom Kippur got to do with Purim. You couldn't get two opposite days in our calendar. According to what we're saying, it has everything to do with it. Yom Kippur is a day that we are involved in Ruchnius only. We're not involved in any gashmius. No eating, no drinking, the way we dress, our shoes, the rechita, no activities of the group. Only Ruchnius. And what about Purim? What are the mitzvahs hayoyim of Purim? Mishneh, Simcha, have a suda, become drunk, Mishleach, Mones. That's also like Yom Kippur. A day that we're involved in Gashmius, if it's done for the right purpose, can be as holy as a Yom Kippur. Tell a goy that, I'll never understand. What's Purim about? Drink and be merry, and that's all about. That's what it's about. We understand Yom Kippurim that essentially there shouldn't be a difference between Yom Kippur and Purim. We're just going about it in a different way. But if Gashmius is really elevated, if one drinks for the right reasons and in the right way, and one has the Suda in the right reasons and in the right way, then that can become a day like Yom Kippur. A day of Kedusha. Like I always say, every Yom Tov without exception has to be prepared for. But L'chaira, none more than Purim. There is no Yom Tov throughout the year that perhaps is more easily misunderstood than Purim. So what do we have to do on Purim? Well, have a good time. Drink and be merry and eat, and we leave Purim. What are we left with? Hangover. Nothing else. If it's prepared for, there are so many Yesodos. I remember when I was in Gateshead Yeshiva, one of the Magidei Shiurim, Rabbi Israel Rosenbaum, Shlita, made a special deal with the Bochurim. Any Bochur who committed himself to learn for an hour on Purim, all the Bochurim, as you can imagine, were busy and with all types of things. Any Bochur who learns for an hour on Purim, you write down your name and he davens to you on Purim. And I remember that Shemona Esra. Mincha used to be about 2 hours Shemona Esra. 2 hours Shemona Esra. And I've heard from many, many other, in the names of many Gedolei Yisrael, that Purim was a day of intense Avodah. Intense Avodah. Synchronized together with the Mishteh and the Simcha and the Suda and the Yayin. There's no stira whatsoever. If it is done in the right way, but it has to be prepared for. What do I want from this Purim? There are so many Yisodos of Purim, whether it's the Yisod of Tefillah, which is very central to Purim, whether it's to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the Golos, that's also a central aspect of Purim. There are so many Yisodos of Purim that has to be prepared for. But if it is prepared for, then in and amongst all the activities of Gashmias, it can be really a day that becomes like Yom Kippur. A day of avoda, and a day that we can exit Purim and leave Purim and indeed feel elevated spiritually in the same way that we leave Yom Kippur.
Well, yeah.